And let's bow our heads and pray. Jesus, we thank you for your presence that's already here. Oh, come, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would minister to us in this house, Lord. You see every heart, every mind in this place. You know every need. And I pray that you would touch every person's life where they're at. God, we thank you that you see us just as we are. I thank you, God, that we don't have to pretend before you, but we can come and simply be and allow you to touch and transform our hearts and our lives, Lord. And I pray that for each and every one of us here. I ask that you would stand in this, my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. We are talking about gifts of the season, remembering what really matters these last few weeks, and we're going to continue on and ending next week on Christmas Eve, talking about the gift, remembering what really matters, the gift of love. But today we're going to talk about the gift of forgiveness. Everyone say forgiveness. Amen. And so many times we focus on so many different things during this season, but we forget what really matters. One of my favorite Christmas movies is Home Alone. Not sure if you've seen that movie, but I love it. I kind of enjoy watching it at least once a year, although there are some parts that I realize, oh, my three-year-old daughter shouldn't be listening to that kind of language. But I love the movie, and after a few years of watching the movie, I always tell myself that I will not cry at the end. I'll tell myself I'm not going to cry at the end of Home Alone. Any movie criers out there? Anybody with me on the movie cry? Okay, cool. Thank you. Christine's like, eh, not really. I'm sorry, buddy. but I told myself I'm not going to cry at the end of the movie because of something that happens. For those of you who have not seen the movie, throughout it, there's a scary character, kind of an older man, that every time little 8-year-old Kevin sees him, he screams and runs away. In a strange turn of events, though, this older man and Kevin, the little guy, the star of the movie, find themselves in this big cathedral-type church listening to the practice of a Christmas Eve service of a choir. And they see each other, and eventually the man approaches Kevin and says, is it okay that we can talk? And they actually, for the first time, Kevin doesn't run away, and they start to have a conversation. And it's revealed in that conversation that this older man and his adult son years ago had a fight, and it was such a bad fight that they told each other, the older man and his adult son, that they didn't want to see each other ever again. It was one of those fights, you know what I'm talking about. The older man shared with this little boy in that church that because his adult son and he were at odds, he couldn't see his granddaughter ever on Christmas Eve. He could not enjoy Christmas as a family because they were in a fight. When the little boy asked the man if he had ever called his son to try to make things right, the older man said, no, I haven't called him. And when the little guy asked, well, why haven't you called him? The older man said, well, I'm afraid that if I call and try to make things right, my son will still reject me. My son will still say, no, Dad, I don't want to talk to you. So the little boy encouraged him to call his son because the worst thing that could happen was that the son would still say, hey, Dad, I don't want to talk to you. But the little boy told the older man, but at least you'll know for sure, right? At least you would have tried. The older man ends up being one of the heroes of the story. But at the very end of the movie, the part of the movie where Pastor Lewis said, I will not cry because I'm a man. The little boy looks out from his window and sees the older man, who was a neighbor, hugging his adult son and his son's wife and his granddaughter. Forgiveness had happened, is what the picture said. What really mattered during that Christmas season for that man had come to pass. Forgiveness from a dad and a son's relationship. Isn't that beautiful? So I will never watch it with you because I don't want you, seeing me crying. But it is a wonderful movie. I would encourage you to watch it if you can with the family. I remember when I was a junior in high school, my older brother and I didn't get along. I couldn't stand being in the same room with him. I know that sounds really weird coming from a pastor, but really, we were at odds. We were at a fight. We could not stand being together. There came a moment, it was after a basketball game, when my parents forced us to have a conversation and share all of our frustrations. We sat down, I'm upset because you did this, and he told me it was an intense moment. Anybody ever have sibling fights in the house? Yeah? You know what I'm talking about. But I remember that night, we came to a point where we forgave each other. And our relationship changed from that moment. It hasn't been perfect, FYI, from that time on. But that moment marked a critical moment in history for the relationship between my brother and myself. We forgave each other. What a beautiful thing forgiveness is. We're talking about gifts of the season. Remember what really matters. And it would be a travesty if we end the Christmas season with toys and gifts and a nice meal, but forgiveness is not present. We're talking about forgiveness. What's important to you during this Christmas season? Have you experienced anything like this? Are there people in your life that you need to forgive? Are you seeking forgiveness from someone? It's a powerful thing. The interesting thing about forgiveness is this. The only person that can offer forgiveness is the person who has been hurt. Right? If the person who has been hurt, the person who the wrong has been caused to them, is the person that can give true forgiveness. For example, if somebody hurts you emotionally, physically, just in a relationship, you've been hurt, it would not mean so much if I stepped into the picture and said, oh, I forgive you, person who's hurt you. Because the damage wasn't to me. Are you with me? And it wouldn't mean so much if it came from me. It's like, oh, it'll be fine. No, it doesn't mean so much because I wasn't the one who was hurt. The power of forgiveness is that only the person who's been hurt can give the forgiveness. Sometimes we look at conflicts and difficult situations and we say, can't you guys just get along? Can't you just forgive each other? And the problem is that no process, nobody has come to the place where they say, hey, I forgive you, or would you forgive me? Nobody's ever started that process. How do we do that? And during these weeks that we're talking about gifts of the season, may we remember that more than gifts and picturesque moments and parties, one of the most important gifts that we can give and receive is the gift of forgiveness. But the reality is that it's so hard. If you've been wronged, you know it's really hard. When somebody has deeply wronged you, it's hard to forgive sometimes. The first feeling is forgive. And the definition of forgive is right here on your notes if you have those. It's to grant pardon for or remission of. To absolve. To cease to feel resentment against. Lord help us. To cancel an indebtedness or liability of, to pardon an offense or an offender. That's the definition of forgive. It's to pardon an offense, to cancel the debt. Anybody got any debt? You don't have to raise your hand. If you have debt, wouldn't it be cool to just get a call from the people that you owe the debt to and say, hey, we forgive your debt. You don't have to pay it back. Hallelujah. That would be awesome, right? That would be a beautiful thing. Well, forgiveness is a cancellation of a debt. It is a pardoning. Sometimes when men and women are in death row in different states that have the death penalty, and sometimes the people are lobbying to the governor to try to have them pardoned, because even though they might have, for one reason or another, are going to get this sentence, they're saying, would you have mercy? Would you pardon this person? Would you forgive what they have done? Cancel the debt. One of the greatest gifts that we can give and receive is the gift of forgiveness. To be pardoned and to pardon. To have our debt canceled. And to cancel the debts people owe us. In our relationship with God, this is critical. In our relationship with the Heavenly Father, this idea is very important. Here's what the scripture says. When you and I, we pray the Our Father, right? We pray it usually before communion once a month. We pray the Our Father. It's interesting that there's one of the powerful lines in that prayer goes like this. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So part of this relationship with God is not just about what God can do for you, but the idea is that God does something in my heart and in my mind, and as a result of that transformation, then I can give what God's given to me to other people here. Amen? To my family, to the persons that have hurt me, not because they deserve it, but because God gave me something I didn't deserve, I can give someone else something that they don't deserve. Forgive us our debts. Sometimes that's translated into sins. Sometimes it's translated trespasses. Forgive us as we forgive other people. To cease to feel resentment against. Wouldn't you like it? Isn't it a good idea, a good thought that what if God doesn't feel angry with me? What if God would cancel the indebtedness that I have towards him? We have good news today. This Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen? The scriptures declare that when Joseph, Mary's husband, was thinking about leaving Mary because she had become pregnant and not by him. So he said, there's something wrong here. I'm just going to leave her quietly. The Bible says that an angel appeared to him. Here's what it says. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And this next scripture is right on your sheet there. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name, what? Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He will save people from their debts. He will save people from their trespasses. Amen? Later on, the scripture says this about this same Jesus that was born on Christmas 2,000 years ago. God exalted him, Jesus, to his own right hand as Prince and what? Savior. So he would save his people from their sins. This baby that was to be born, Joseph, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. This baby is special. He will save the people from their sins. And later on, the scripture says God exalted this Jesus to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. Forgive their sins. There's a powerful connection between Jesus saving people and Jesus forgiving people. Amen? To save someone from their sins means they must be forgiven from their sins. Somehow Jesus was going to pay off the debt that the people would owe. This little baby that was to be born would be more than a nice story and warm feelings. He actually came into the world to save the people of this world from their sins. The scriptures declare later on about this same Jesus. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Through his name. Through his name. What about other religions? Everyone receives forgiveness through his name. What about Buddha? It's through the name of Jesus. What about Muhammad? It's through the name of Jesus. What about if I'm an atheist? I just believe in my own deal. It's through the name of Jesus. I am the way, Jesus says, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All the prophets from the Old Testament, Isaiah and the psalmist and David, testify that everyone who believes in this Jesus, they receive forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of their debts, their trespasses are gone. They're pardoned, absolved through his name. So Christmas is bigger than just Christmas, right? It's Christ coming into the world and growing and taking upon us himself the debt that we owe. So the first thing we must do is recognize the gift of forgiveness in Jesus. That's one of the first villains there. Recognize the gift of forgiveness in Jesus. Somehow putting our faith and trust in Jesus brings about a pardon, a cancellation of indebtedness. God doesn't feel resentful toward us because of Jesus. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of, we have to recognize the gift of forgiveness through the blood of Christ and what he has done, somehow putting our faith and trust in him because he pardons us. Whatever you have done, you say, Pastor, you don't know what I have done. Whatever trespass you've committed against God, greed, pride, lust, hatred, bitterness, covetousness, malice, no matter what it is, all of it, because of Jesus, it can be forgiven in the eyes of God. God, but I have hurt this person. You put your trust in Christ, he forgives you for it. But God, I have messed up with my kids. You put your faith in Christ, he will forgive you for it. But God, I have messed up in so many ways. I keep falling in the same addiction, the same problem, the same pit, and I'm trying to get out, but I don't see a way. If you look up to Jesus because of what he has done, you can be forgiven. Amen? There's another powerful scripture that declares, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to who? To North Americans? Right, to all nations. To Africans, to Latin Americans, to Asians, to Russians, to Arabs, to Muslim countries. It's to all nations. Hallelujah. This message of Christmas is not just an American thing. It is a God thing for the world. I love seeing scenes like the song that we just sang before, O Come Emmanuel. I love the diversity here in the church. Amen. One of the reasons why we love it is not just, oh, we're diverse, we're cool. No, listen. It's because the message of Christ is for you. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter how much money or how little you have in the account. God's message of forgiveness is for you and for me today. Amen? It doesn't matter where we come from. Doesn't matter what our ethnicity is. And it's a beautiful picture of diversity here in Heart and Soul, because I believe that God is a diverse God. He loves people from all tribes. You know that when it's all said and done, the Bible says that we'll all stand in that place in heaven and be worshiping God, or wherever it may be, worshiping God in the throne, before the throne. And the Bible says that all tribes, all tongues are represented there. And I heard a man from a particular ethnicity say this one time, and I'll just put it to my own. You know, I'm going to be Puerto Rican for eternity. And he said, I'm happy about that. It didn't say, and everyone became the same thing. It says that all tribes, all tongues were represented there. It means heaven's going to be a multicultural place. Amen? It's to all nations. It begins at Jerusalem, and Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. It's available to everyone. Sharing God's love here at Heart and Soul. Next week is Christmas Eve Sunday. Amen? You've already heard about that. One of the reasons why we talk about sharing with people and inviting people is because we believe it to our core that this message is not just for church folks. It's not just for people who are doing okay. No, it's for everyone. And we want everyone to know and experience the love of God in their life. So make sure you invite a friend, invite a family member, invite someone to take the chair next to you and say, why don't you come to church with me? And if you know, if God does something in your heart and life throughout these services, you say, you know what, that's good, I received that. Maybe it'll be a blessing to your neighbor too. Maybe it'll be a blessing to that person that you're praying for. As Brother Augustine said, maybe it'll be a blessing to that person that annoys you. You say, you know what, I'm so annoyed, come to church with me. Do something different this time. Have you experienced the forgiveness of Jesus in your life? If not, he wants to give you that gift today. During this season, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to hide from God. Some of us try to do that, right? We know that our life isn't right, and we know that there's something wrong, so we try to hide from God. I don't want God to see me. It's kind of like when Brother Dave was sharing last week about how Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they tried to hide from God, and God was looking for them. It's kind of sort of like this. When my kids were little, you know, my daughter's still 4 years old, and my son is now 11, but when he was young too, he said, Daddy, let's play hide and seek. And they would go into Daddy's bed and put the sheet over them. And they're playing hide and seek. Where could you be? And of course, I said, as a good dad, I'd pretend to, you know, not see them. And then, hey, there you are, right? But the point is, I saw them the whole time. Can I just tell you something? God sees you the whole time. And I know that there's parts of you that are ashamed, and there's parts of you that are feeling regret. But if you will just take the sheets off of you and allow God to see your face, he's going to do something in your heart. He's going to start doing work inside of you that you will never regret. Listen, it's just as you are. You can come to God just as you are. Did you know that? It's good news today. When we celebrate communion, we do it once a month here. Communion is that time where we partake of the bread and the drink, and we remember what Jesus did for us. But Jesus himself, the one that was to be born, the one who, where the angel just said, Joseph, take Mary to be your wife, because this son of yours, he will be called Jesus, and he will save the people from their sins. When he grew up, he said this, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. That one that would come as a baby in Christmas would pour out blood for the forgiveness of sins. We're talking about gifts of the season. We're talking about remembering what really matters. What really matters is forgiveness. Jesus was born so that you and I could experience that forgiveness. He lived the life that you and I should have lived, a perfect one. He died the death that you and I should have died, the death from sin. His blood was poured out for you and me so we could experience forgiveness. So the next thing we must do, not just recognize the gift, but receive the gift of forgiveness from Jesus. That's the next fill in there. Receive the gift of forgiveness from Jesus. But it doesn't end there, loved ones. There's something greater and deeper that God is calling us to. It's not just receiving his forgiveness, but it's also extending that same forgiveness to other people. Amen? The disciple Peter, one of Jesus' boys, he was really close with Peter. He asked Jesus a question. The scripture says this, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? I mean, Peter figured, okay, one, and he's going to say more than one, two, five, four, five, maybe he'll be good with seven. Maybe Jesus will be impressed if I say, hey, seven times. Maybe Jesus will say, wow, you're going to forgive someone seven. That's great. And the scripture says, Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Another verse says, 70 times seven. He didn't understand that. Just like you and I think, that's crazy. How can I forgive someone over and over and over again? In other words, when we ask Jesus, when we ask God, how many times we should forgive someone else, the answer from Jesus is you should forgive someone else radically. You should forgive someone else a ridiculous amount of times. But there's a reason for it. When Jesus tells this story, there's a story that's found in Matthew 18, verses 23 and 35. We don't have time to read it, but I will tell you what the story is. If you, during your quiet time during your week, if you will pull up a Bible on your phone or a physical Bible, if you don't have one, please let us know. We'd love to get a Bible into your hands. But I would encourage you to read this story. It's powerful concerning forgiveness. It's a powerful story. The story is about a man who had a great debt that he could not pay. And when he came before the all-powerful king, he begged for his mercy. Anybody ever call Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, or whoever, and say, hey, I can't pay this month. Can you just forgive my debt? You know what? I can't do it. Can you just kind of cancel that? Maybe you should try it. That would be a good thing to try this week and see what they say. Right? This man owed a great debt. It wasn't just a wireless bill. It was a huge debt that he could not pay. You know, something about having bills that you cannot pay. You know, if I get a $50 bill and I have $50, you know, I don't like when money is leaving the house, but if I have it, at least I can pay it, right? But it's a whole different feeling when I get a $50 bill and I ain't got no money. Right? There's something in here that's like, man, I don't. There's a desperation because we don't have the resources in ourselves to pay the debt. This man is coming before the king with a huge bill in his hands, and he has no resources. The only thing he can do is go before the king and beg for his mercy. The king's heart was filled with compassion, the story says, and he forgave the man. He forgave the man. He forgave him. It was a beautiful thing. But that same man went out and found someone who owed him. So the king has just forgiven me the debt. I leave. Woof, I don't have to pay that anymore. Now I find Augustine who owes me $5. He doesn't really owe me $5, but I'm just pretending, right? And he doesn't have it. You know that if you owe somebody $5, but you don't have any money, it might as well be $1 million, right? You just don't have it. You can't get it. You don't have it. But I found Augustine who owes me $5. And I said, you must pay me now. And Augustine says, Pastor Lewis, I'm sorry. I don't have it right now. Please have mercy. And in those days, if you couldn't pay a bill that you rightfully and justly owed, you would get thrown in jail. So I said, no, I'm sorry. You need to pay me now. If you don't pay me now, you're going to be thrown in jail. And you and your family are going to work this off until you pay me back. That's what the man did. He had just been forgiven, but he didn't forgive the person next to him. He begged, the other guy begged for mercy, just like he had begged from the king, but he refused to be merciful. You see a problem here? What should the king do? If you were the king, what would you do? The scripture says this, then the master called the servant in, and this is in your notes, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Shouldn't you have had mercy on the person next to you just like I had on you? Shouldn't you have had mercy on the person that wronged you just like I had mercy at the fact that you had wronged me? You see, forgiveness granted to you demands forgiveness extended to others. Forgiveness granted to you demands forgiveness extended to others. There's another passage in the book of Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. But Lord, they're saying nasty things about me, Lord. They're not true. Forgive them. Lord, they betrayed me. Forgive them. Lord, they have hurt me. Forgive them. Seven times, Lord, not seven. The final thing that we must do, not just recognize the gift, not just receive it, but release the gift of forgiveness because of Jesus. We must release it. We must release it to other people. It can't just be bottled in. If we've received the gift, we must release it to others. Have you recognized and received this gift that Jesus came into the world to give? Baby Jesus was the one who would come and save the people from their sins. Will you receive that forgiveness? And then the question is, then who do you need to extend forgiveness to today? Pastor, you don't know what's been done to me. You know what? I don't know. But here's what Jesus would say about that. God, Pastor, you don't know. Here's what Jesus would say. I know what it feels like to be betrayed, Jesus would say. Tortured and crucified. All while being truly and completely innocent. Jesus would say, I know what it feels like to. And I did that so that you can receive forgiveness. Will you extend that forgiveness to that other person? Someone once said that when we open the cage and release the person that we used to refuse to forgive, when we open the door to that cage, what we find is that the person that was really the prisoner was us. Recognize the forgiveness available. Receive the forgiveness of Jesus and his gift, and release the gift of forgiveness to others. The older gentleman in Home Alone was forgiven and extended forgiveness to by his adult son at that last scene when they embraced, because the gift that matters during Christmas is the gift of forgiveness. It was a beautiful thing. The most beautiful thing that can happen in this Christmas for you, it's not just for the old man in Home Alone, amen? It's for you, because of Jesus, for you. The most beautiful thing that can happen this Christmas is to recognize the gift of forgiveness in Jesus. Receive that gift and then release that to the people in your lives. It's not worth it, loved ones. It's not worth it. I didn't share this with the first service, but I feel like I should with you. Yesterday, I might get a little emotional, so bear with me. Yesterday was the 4-year anniversary of Pastor Joanne passing. It's an emotional day in the house for us. We are so thankful and joyful that God has brought an amazing mom and a wife to me Amen? Amy is a gift from the Lord. We're so thankful for her. But I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message, that when Pastor Joanne went to be with God, there were some things in our years together that I had to ask forgiveness of her. And she had forgiven me. She had canceled my debt. And there were some things that she had to ask forgiveness of me for over the years. And husbands and wives understand, it's marriage is about constant humility and forgiving each other, giving each other grace. Amen? There are things that she had done that I had forgiven her, and we had canceled the debt. That was not always true, but when we said goodbye to each other on this planet, I am so thankful that forgiveness had been received and extended on all sides. We were at peace with each other. Are you following me? What I'm trying to tell you is this. If you died, whatever it is that you have against that person ceases to be important. If they died, whatever it is that you used to have against them ceases to be, because they're no longer here. And the life message for me is have peace with God, the forgiveness that he's given to you, and peace with each other. Extend forgiveness today. But you don't understand. Listen, do not die with unforgiveness inside of you, because that is the cage that imprisons you. And until you forgive, you will stay in there. I'm so thankful that Pastor Joanne and I were at peace and had forgiven each other. I think it would have been a totally different scenario for me personally if there had been unforgiveness there. Are you with me? I would encourage you to, if you need to do business with God, you can pray, you can share with someone in front of you. There's some connection cards. If you want to put your name down and say, Pastor, I am reconnecting with Jesus today. I'm connecting with him for the first time. I'm committing my life to start serving and start sharing the love of Jesus with people. I would encourage you to do that. We're going to do the offering here in a few minutes. And I would encourage you to allow that conversation inside of you with God. Just make it, take the next step and say, this is what I'm going to do. Have you received the forgiveness from Jesus? That's the gift of Christmas, is the gift of Jesus, who was going to save his people from our sins. And have you extended? Will you today say, I'm going to extend forgiveness to other people? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us. I thank you for the work that you're doing inside of us. God, I pray, Jesus, that you would pull the veil off of people's eyes, that they would see the destruction that their unforgiveness has caused to them. Have mercy, God. Have mercy. Give us the courage to forgive others, not out of our own strength, but because you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you have canceled a debt that we could never repay. And so we receive your forgiveness. Help us to forgive other people. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.